This is a fanfare by American composer Gwyneth Walker. Describing her music, critics often use the words athletic, fresh, energetic, and fun. Gwyneth Walker writes in a wide variety of forms, and she'll be in North Carolina from February 24th through the end of the month for performances of several of her works. She's composer in residence at Salem College in Winston-Salem during that time. She'll be at performances and rehearsals by the Piedmont Chamber Singers. Centenary United Methodist Church in Winston-Salem honors her with Gwyneth Walker Sunday on the 27th. On that day, bass baritone David Arnold is featured in the world premiere of Prayers and Blessings and in performances of more works by Walker. And she goes to Raleigh for a rehearsal with the Meredith College Choir and the North Carolina Symphony for the March 15th premiere of a new version of her Songs for Women's Voices. I found talking with Gwyneth Walker as appealing as listening to her music. I phoned her at home on a dairy farm in Vermont and asked about these next few busy days in North Carolina.
Well, it's wonderful. You know, if you plan well and communicate with a lot of people, you can manage to have everything happen during one trip.
And while you are here in North Carolina, you actually have some other performances, including a premiere in Minneapolis going on.
Oh, you saw that. I have three concerts on February 27th, and two of them are premieres. But first come, first serve is my motto, and David Arnold chose his date, and the college, you know, coordinated. Everything was coordinated for that. And then the concert in Minneapolis was initially going to be on February 6th, and they moved it to the 27th, and so that's too bad. I won't be there.
But lucky for us. Well, your publicist told me that there are 16 premieres of works of yours going on in this country this winter and spring.
Yes.
Are you a very fast worker, or did it just happen that a lot of these had to be ready at the same time?
I try not to just throw notes at the page. I mean, I'm sure if there were a race, I would not come in first with composers, but this is my full-time job, so I'm able to turn out a moderate amount of music. And spring is often a busy time for premieres. If you do anything with colleges, they like to premiere the music in the spring when they've had a sense of what students are in which ensemble.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing. And a lot of choruses, community choruses, have celebrations in the spring. It seems that if it's the 15th season or the 25th season or whatever, they want to celebrate it, and they usually do that in the spring. So it's winter to spring is the big time. So I've been working for a year or more in advance to get all these pieces ready, and now they're all going to be performed.
In one fell swoop.
I'm just getting on the plane and coming and going to one and going to the next, and it's been quite a bit of work to get all the music ready and copied and in everybody's hands and be sure that everybody has program notes and everything, you know.
When you decided to pursue a career as a full-time composer in the early 1980s, was it at all frightening to leave the relative security of academic employment?
Yes, it was terrifying. And in fact, a number of my friends who are teachers said they thought it was very courageous. It was terrifying because I had no example. Nobody else was doing it. But I just felt that, scary as it might be to leave my teaching job for composing, scarier yet was the thought of someday in middle age, like age 50, looking back at my life and realizing that I didn't try, you know, that I didn't follow my dream. And that was so much stronger a fear that it overcame the fear of setting out. It was like diving off a diving board into an unknown pool, definitely.
Do you think you are still quite unusual as a composer in doing that full time?
Yes, I am. But there are composers of many ilks in the United States. many are college professors, but also many are church musicians, you know, organists and music directors there, or others are performers. So a lot of composers have a second hat to wear, and mine is I'm an entrepreneur. And I don't know why. I've never taken a business class or anything, but for the music, I seem to be able to find money under a stone, really. I'll just perhaps mention a project, and the next thing I know, somebody wants to pay me to write that project. And so I guess because I have that second suit, I'm able to do this.
Excellent.
But not everybody should, or, you know, it's just my personality. I have a Quaker background. And we Quakers are very practical people. And that helps me, I think, with keeping things organized and with making this a business in that, you know, I support myself by it and all the different details of the performance are arranged in a business-like manner. So that's my personality, and it might not be the next person's.
Composer Gwyneth Walker. There's more information on her music and her activities, including her next few days in North Carolina, at gwynethwalker.com. In Davidson, I'm Rachel Jeffries.